This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's head into the depths of Ontario and catch up with our community reporter, Dorothy McNaughton. She's in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Hey, good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning, Dave.
So, Dorothy, you wanted to take a couple moments to tell us about something neat to check out in the Sioux, and that's the Canadian Bush Plain Heritage Centre. So, tell us a bit more about the centre, what it offers, and what's currently on exhibit there.
Oh, it's the neatest place to go and visit, especially for families. It's been around quite a few years. It's in an old Ministry of Natural Resources hangar down on the waterfront in Sault Ste. Marie. And what they did quite a few years ago was they started putting old bush planes in the hangar and fixing them up and then adding other ones to it and opening it up to the public. And they have neat interactive displays. They have a little theater where they show a movie about forest firefighting. It's really different, and it demonstrates how bush planes opened up the north.
And Dorothy, this is something that it's not just a personal point of fascination. It's something that you're personally connected to. Tell us a bit about your father and his relationship to bush planes.
Oh, yes. Boy, oh boy, that brings back so many great memories. I was born in Sioux Lookout. Actually, where we lived was on a lands and forest base. So there was a lake nearby where the bush planes landed. And my dad flew up and down the James Bay, Hudson Bay coast. He worked with First Nations people. Before the days of sort of economic development, oh my gosh, we used to hear the planes come in when we knew my dad was coming, and we ran down to the lake to meet the plane. And I just have so many wonderful memories of those days. And even after we moved down to Southern Ontario, he still flew in those planes because that was the only way to reach those remote First Nations communities.
Dorothy, expanding a little bit upon that, you mentioned that experience of growing up in Sioux Lookout and then spending some time in Southern Ontario and then coming back to the Sioux. Yeah. What's that change been like to experience over the years, to see what was even just, 50, 60 years ago, almost untouched land has gone through this development over the course of decades?
Yes, Sioux Lookout's grown larger. And, having been in larger centers, Mississauga, for quite a few years before it was Mississauga, I love the north. I just love the bush. I love the wilderness. I love the people. And when I knew early, that I wanted to come back to the north. And I've been in other communities in the north, in Cochrane, and then also we spent some time in Deep River. But the north is in my blood. And I think a lot of people who were born and raised in the north just love it and, want to get back if they can.
So the Bush Plain Museum is expected to reopen soon, which is excellent news. So when folks that are making their way through the Sioux during the course of the summer, they can find it at 50 Pym Street in the Sioux. And of course, if folks want to learn more, they can give a phone call, 705-945-6242, or visit the website bushplain.com, and that'll give you all of that information about when the museum is scheduled to reopen once again. Hey, Dorothy, you also wanted to talk about some of the issues about reporting barriers in Sault Ste. Marie. You wanted to remind locals they do have the opportunity to report barriers they come across in the city of Sault Ste. Marie. So how can folks go about doing that?
Yes, I think I wanted to highlight this because I think a lot of people with disabilities, we face lots of barriers and often on a regular basis. We don't know how to change that, how to fix things and make it better for us and for other people. So when the AODA came into force in Ontario, the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act, they required the larger municipalities to form an accessibility advisor committee. And that's really where there should be recognition of the barriers that people face. So you can report that to the accessibility coordinator in Sault Ste. Marie, and then it goes to the AAC to be discussed and to look at possible solutions. It also gets put into the accessibility plan, which cities have to create every 5 years.
I don't mean to put you on the spot here, Dorothy, but have you gone through the process before? What's the process like of reporting a barrier that you encounter?
Well, actually, I served on the AAC for a couple of years.
Okay,
so
all right.
I was able to bring it to them right
there.
That
makes it even easier. You're right there in the same room.
Exactly. And actually, that's one of the great reasons about, trying to serve on these kinds of organizations. They have to have over 50% people with disabilities serving there. But I've talked to a lot of people in the Sioux who have faced various barriers, and I've sort of steered them in that direction to report it. And because if you just complain and nobody hears the real issues, the real barriers, then nothing's going to change.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a point of contact here, which I'm going to share. If folks do want to reach out to Nancy Scott, the city's accessibility coordinator, her contact info is 705-541-2822 or an email accessibility@cityssm.on.ca. There's also a fax number, but I'm not going to share the fax number. We'll put that up on the blog, ami.ca/now blog, ami.ca/now blog. So no worries about rewinding on the podcast a bunch of times here in rapid order, or a run into the pen and paper, your smartphone. You can head over to our website after the show, ami.ca/now blog, ami.ca/now blog. And Dorothy, you also had a chance to recently attend the Canadian Accessible Election Town Hall, which was hosted by the Canadian Council of the Blind. So tell us a bit about the focus and what was discussed at this event.
Yes, it was really interesting because I've attended these in the past prior to federal elections. And you always learn something new. You learn what's available for people with disabilities during the upcoming election. Well, needless to say, COVID-19 has influenced what happens in whatever election might be upcoming. So the person that represented Elections Canada was explaining that due to COVID-19, they've had to put a lot of precautions in place just in case. And so any accessibility features that they might have been looking at adding, like accessible voting machines, they're doing research into things like telephone voting and online voting, but none of that will be in place for the next federal election because of COVID-19 and the precautions they've had to take. So that was kind of disappointing.
Yeah. Dorothy, if you were to be making a wish list for how, if we put you in charge of Elections Canada, Dorothy McNaughton now in charge of Elections Canada, what's on your wish list? Because I think you touched on a couple interesting ones there. The concept of voting by web or voting by mail, even voting by phone, some more conveniences making it easier. But in your mind, what would you like to see in regards to voting being more accessible?
Oh, I think the electronic voting machines, which are used in a lot of provincial and municipal elections already. Mm. So, unfortunately, they're usually only used at the returning office, sort of prior to election day. They aren't at every polling station during election day, unfortunately, but at least it's an option to vote independently. Mm-hmm. So I guess my number one wish is to put into place anything that will allow people to vote independently.
Yeah.
And the online voting, I think, is going to be huge for a lot of people, not just people with disabilities.
Yeah, just convenience through and through. For me, this one isn't necessarily about accessibility per se, but I've always said that it would be incredible if we sort of expanded advanced polling or even reframed the way we thought about election day and turned it into election week. So from like Sunday till Sunday, over the course of those 7 days, polls would be open so you could kind of vote on your own convenience. Maybe it doesn't need to be a week, but you get what I'm saying, right? That we're not yes. just using a couple of advanced poll days in one election day, but we're creating a big, wide time swath for folks to get out and do their voting.
Yes, yes. And actually, you mentioned voting by mail. That is available now, voting by mail. And if there's still a pandemic and the election is called, there will be a lot of people voting by mail.
Mm-hmm. Which is certainly an experience they had in Newfoundland and Labrador earlier this year as they had their provincial election fall into chaos with a couple of COVID-19 outbreaks around Election Day. Hey, Dorothy, this sounds like it was a really interesting session. Where can people find out more information?
About Elections Canada and voting and making sure you're registered, all of that, it's on the website for Elections Canada, www.elections.ca.
Excellent. Elections.ca. And of course, we'll share that information as well on our blog after the show, ami.ca/now blog. Hey, Dorothy, always great to catch up with you. All the best to you. Enjoy some of this warm weather as it rolls into the Sioux. So enjoy a dip in the lake when you get the chance.
Okay, I'll do that.
That's Dorothy. Well, is it still too cold, Dorothy? Is it still too cold to take a dip in the lake? Are we still waiting a little bit for that one?
Oh, yes. And not only that, if it's Lake Superior, it's always cold.
It's always cold. Even if it's August, it's still cold on Lake Superior. Hey, Dorothy, all the best to you and the family.
Thanks. Same to you.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.